start early, we end early.
Yeah. You want to bet? Good evening. It's good to see each of you, and we greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior. Looking forward to time of fellowship together. And because there is not a special tonight, we're going to let you again pick a number that you would like to sing this evening after we have our pastoral prayer. But beginning tonight, let's turn to number 297 or 294, Set My Soul Afire, number 294. And I invite you to stand with me as we join together in singing. 294. Set my soul together singing. Church, and you may be seated.
After 40 days in the wilderness, fasting and praying, we're told that Satan came to Jesus and began to tempt him. And does anybody remember what the first temptation was? That's right, he's hungry, right? 40 days without food, that's going to make anybody hungry. And so Satan says, hey, you've got the power, why don't you just grab a stone and make it into bread? What was Jesus' response? Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Thinking that's pretty important, isn't it? If we live our lives out by every word of the Lord, how important is His word to our lives? And In the Word, we find a lot of things. One of the things we find is a short little phrase that says, devote yourselves to prayer. And how important it is that we do that. And in that passage, it talks about praying for each other. So it's important that we take time, not to, again, to say those quick little simple prayers, almost as a prelude to something else, but really open our hearts and pray for each other. And we need to remember tonight, Jan Lavender talked with Edward this morning, and she is having some major surgery again this week. Obviously, Edward is quite concerned about it, and so we want to remember her in our prayers. Are there any other special prayer needs that you have this evening before we pray? All right, Mary Ann has strep throat. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty of your words. Words that challenge, words that comfort, words that give us direction and even meaning to our lives. And so, Lord, tonight we want to honor your word. And in there you said for us to pray for each other. So we come and we uplift these prayer needs before you. We've got so many of them listed in our bulletin, so many names representing a lot of different circumstances and needs. But God, you are a God that's bigger and greater than any and every need that is out there. And right now we pray specifically for Jan Lavender and for Mary Ann, and we ask for your touch to come down upon them, believing in that touch and knowing, God, that we don't face anything alone, but you always go with us. And so we, again, pray for you to touch their bodies in a way that only that you can. And Lord, we pray for us as a church tonight. We pray that we, as we've come together, that you will come and visit us, that you will break into this moment, that you will reveal your glory, and that, Lord, we will just be in awe of who you are and of your salvation. For, Lord, it doesn't matter how much that we love you and how much we give ourselves to loving you, we can never love you the way that you love us. A love so perfect that you're willing to forgive us even though we make mistake after mistake. Lord, you're always right there, and you're ready to forgive and to cleanse. And so, Lord, we thank you for that kind of love. We thank you for that kind of assurance tonight. And again, Lord, we want this moment not to be about us, but it to all be about you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, for several from the audience, if you would, please. Mark. Number 530. Saved. I found a friend who is all to me. We trust as we sing it, that will be true, that he is our friend. You may remain seated for this number, singing all three verses together.
Thank you.
Wonderful truth. Yes, Scott.
5:43.
I'm sorry? 5:43. When the roll is called up yonder. Sing all four, the three verses, all three. When the roll, when the trumpet rathers come together. And then one other that was picked by our pianist tonight, we want to do before we have the message this evening. If we get yours tonight, we'll get it another Sunday evening, okay? Number 505, Love Lifted Me. Number 505, and we'll ask you to stand as we sing this final number before the message. Number 505, Love Lifted Me, singing together. Start with John 3:16. Thank you, church, and you may be seated.
I'm going to tell you something this evening that I doubt anybody here knows, except maybe Teresa, and obviously she would know, but I'm going to share with you something that I really don't like. I don't like bug spray. Now, that was kind of a problem in Honduras, mind you, all right, because down there were times that whether you liked it or you didn't like it, you better have it, and you better have it on, or things weren't going to go so well. Now, in time, after several years, I learned that if you wore long pants, and if you wore long socks so they couldn't get around your ankles, and if you were especially going to be out at night, if you went ahead and just wore a long sleeve shirt, and by the way, that doesn't make you any hotter down there. You're already hot. So it didn't have anything to do with how hot you were down there. But if you wore a long sleeve shirt, you really didn't have to spray very much because that would keep them off. And so that's what I would try to do because there's just about spraying that chemical all over you. I just didn't like it at all. But one night, the doorbell rings. And Joel's there, for those of you that remember Joel, fine young man. But Joel's at the door, and he was doing our maintenance at Faith Home, and he said that somebody had come to him, and they had put their service truck, they were making a delivery up a lane up there that really a truck shouldn't be able to get through, but they always did. And they had gotten in the ditch, and they knew we had a tractor, and so they had asked Joel if we could use our tractor to pull them out. And I said, well, sure, that would be fine. And I said, I'll jump in the truck and meet you out there. And that way, if you need any help, I'll be there to help out. And that's what I did. Now, it was about dusk. And about 45 minutes before the sun went down was an exceptionally bad time for mosquitoes down there. And it was just about that time. And of course, he had come by the door, and I was in a hurry to get out there. So I just, wasn't thinking. And I headed out, and I found where the guy was in the ditch. And I got out, and we're kind of talking with him. And Joel shows up with the tractor, and I happened to look down and realize my arms, and I didn't have long sleeve shirts on because I wasn't planning on being out necessarily at that time, just covered in mosquitoes. And it's like, and by the way, I found out the next day just how many mosquitoes had lunch on me that night. And there were several of them, all right? Anyway, I thought, well, no big deal because I always kept, I don't like it, but I always kept a can of bug spray in the truck for times just like this. And so I went to the truck, and guess what? No bug spray. I really don't know what happened to my can of bug spray, except to tell you tonight, it wasn't in the truck. And so, again, I was able to feed a lot of mosquitoes that particular night. Now, amazingly, over the four and a half years that we were there, I really, other than that particular night, really didn't get that many mosquito bites over the years. Now, Teresa, on the other hand, she was a walking mosquito magnet. I don't care where she went and how much bug spray she put on and how many home remedies that people would tell us, oh, if you'll do this, it'll keep mosquitoes off of you. And I don't think any of them, but she always had bites on her, always. She also found out that mosquitoes carry this thing called dengue fever. And it's not very pleasant. Truth is, people die from it down there periodically. I mean, it's pretty intense. High fever. All kinds of, in fact, as she would describe it, even the hair on her head hurt so bad that she couldn't hardly lay her head on a pillow because she felt that bad. And I believe she got it twice while we were down there, So she was one of the more fortunate. But mosquitoes, I'm telling you, why on earth did God make them? I know that it probably won't matter in the least when I get to heaven. So I probably won't ask God. But if right on this side of eternity, I'm thinking, why God? I don't see a lot of value in a mosquito, except that they're annoying and they're irritating and they can cause some pretty serious problems, not only dengue fever, but malaria and other sorts of diseases. Well, the whole thing is simply this. What's true about mosquitoes, and by the way, I'm going to try to spin this now to the religious side of this. The thing that I've just said about mosquitoes, that they're annoying and they're irritating and they can cause really serious problems, well, the same thing can be said about sin. It's irritating. It's annoying. It can be very painful and it can certainly cause a lot of problems. And the truth is, I hate sin. Now, I don't hate it enough, mind you. Would God that I did hate it more. Because the truth is, if I hated it a little more, maybe I wouldn't let it catch up to me nearly as often as I let it. And I know tonight that I'm not talking to novices out there. I know tonight that we're all experts in this matter called sin. Because the truth is simply this, if we don't die quickly or if Christ doesn't come back right away, we're all going to fall prey to sin yet again. And sin causes so much pain. Causes us not only to hurt ourselves, but to hurt other people. It gets us into trouble that we should not be into. And the truth is, if we know all of these things, and we do, it doesn't make any sense, does it? Does it really make sense to you? Because it just doesn't to me. I'll confess. I don't understand why I let sin be such a player in my life. I mean, it's been that way, I guess, all along, because it doesn't make sense to me. Like I said a few weeks ago, why on earth were Adam and Eve listening to a serpent instead of listening to God? What sense does that make? And when they had everything already, the perfectness of the Garden of Eden, the perfectness of a relationship with God, why on earth did they think they had to eat the fruit of that one tree that God said, don't eat from it? And what Paul said to the Romans, I mean, it resonates with me. The good I want to do, I just don't do it. And that bad that I just don't want to do, that's what I find myself doing over and over again. Paul said, you know, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin that dwells within me. Boy, wouldn't it be great if somebody could manufacture some sin repellent in a can that we could spray on every morning and it would help keep sin away from our lives. Of course, there isn't such a thing. At least you don't find it in a can, but you can find some help in a book. And just about the time that I think we might all be tempted just to throw our hands up in the air and be in total despair about sin, we also know what Paul said. He said, who can save me? Wretched man that I am, who can save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So grab the book, because this is where we get a lot of help tonight. And we're going to go to the 119th Psalm. And I was tempted to read it in its entirety, but tonight I think I'll just read from verses 9 to 16. Because I think even in those few verses, I think we find a lot of positive and powerful things about God's Word and how that it can help us. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your Word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees, and I will not neglect your word. Whoa, how powerful is God's word? I mean, it would, truthfully, how foolish would it be to go off to Honduras and not take bug spray with you? I mean, I really don't recommend that. The truth is, that night on the mountain, when I didn't have my bug spray, and I wanted it, didn't have it, what I also knew that night was I had 3 or 4 cans sitting on the shelf at home. But it wasn't doing me any good sitting on the shelf at home. And the truth is, I want to keep the Word of God close to me because it doesn't do me any good out there if I don't have it with me. And I got to tell you, I keep Bibles just about everywhere. I keep one with me, certainly when I'm preaching. I've got more in the office just in case I need some more. I've got a bunch of them at home laying right there by my chair where I sit and watch television. I've got them in each of our cars just in case I need them there. And if all else fails, I can pull out the phone and pull out the Bible app, and I've still got the Bible with me. I keep it with me because I know how important it is. Look, when Jesus said that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, how important is that? It's God's hope. When we get convinced of that, when we really believe that these aren't just words on a page that sound nice, when we believe these are the words that came from God and God speaks to, how can we not keep it with us? I mean, in here we find the standard operating procedures for life. You want to know how to live? We get in here. You want to know how to be an employer and to be a good boss? You get it in here. You want to know how to go about your job? You get it in here. You want to know how to invest your money? You get it in here. Every standard operating procedure right here. It's our lifeline at times. I don't know how many times that I've been sinking and feeling like I'm going down, and all of a sudden, through God's Word, He gives me something in it, and it pulls me up. It's one of our spiritual weapons, according to Paul. He said it's the sword of the Spirit in which we do combat with the forces of evil. I keep Bibles close even though I've read it, and I've read it, you know, not bragging, but I've read it through a couple of times. I probably should have done it more than that, but I've read it through, but I can't quote to you every verse that's in here. I want to keep it close because when I need it, I want to grab it and get in here and see what God has to say. If somebody asks me a question and I can't just, I want to be able to say, not this is what Rodney thinks, but let's go find out and see what God has to say. See, it's one thing to quote somebody a verse, but I believe it's another when we grab the word, because I believe even in the symbol of what it is when we open it up and we share from it that it makes a difference. So I keep the Bible close. And it does amaze me how many times that at that perfect moment God speaks. A couple of weeks ago now, there was one verse in the 31st Psalm that just jumped out at me. And it was just one of those moments. It's the back end. It simply says, for the sake of your name, not for the sake of Rodney, not for the sake of it, but for the sake of your name, O Lord, lead me and guide me. I don't know how many times I have prayed that very psalm the last few days. Lord, for the glory of your name, for who you are, Lord, give me leadership and guidance to what I need to do and the way that I need to do it. Of course, the word is, it's more than simply holding the Bible, that's true. But it's letting the word into our lives. It's doing what the psalmist said when he said, I'm going to hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And to get it into our hearts, well, it doesn't happen by osmosis. Tonight, you can't strap this thing to your head and sleep on it all night and wake up and have greater knowledge of God. The only greater knowledge you're going to have if you do that is this isn't very comfortable as a pillow. What we need to do is open it up and sit down and, like a fine meal, slowly, unhurriedly begin to listen and to read. We're pretty good about reading informationally, but we need to read formationally. Information reading says, I want to read as much as I can, as fast as I can, so I can get all these facts so that I can use these facts. But formational reading says, I'm going to slow down and I'm going to listen for the voice of God through these words. And not read them so that I have a bunch of information, but so that that information can then be used by God in my life to transform me and to change me. Yes, indeed, we need to keep the Bible close to us. Because too often we just depend on others. Howard Hendricks, some of you may have heard of him before, pretty popular or prominent pastor from a few years ago. Howard Hendricks said he took his family to Yellowstone National Park. And when he got there, they checked in. And at the ranger station, and at the station they told him and gave him some paperwork or something, he said, and one of the things they said is, don't feed the bears. Just don't feed the bears. And he said, in fact, as they drove through, there were a lot of signs that said, don't feed the bears. He said, but guess what? We drove around the corner, and guess what people were doing? They're feeding the bears. And so, you know, he said, it didn't just happen once. We turned around two or three times. People are feeding the bears. And he said, he knew that they'd been told, don't feed the bears. And so when he saw a park ranger, they started talking about how so many people, even though they know they're not supposed to feed the bears, that it's dangerous to feed the bears, they feed the bears anyway. And one of the park rangers said, and one of the things he said that they don't realize is that many times the bears become so subsistence on handouts that they quit hunting. And some bears have literally died because they were waiting for a handout that never came. Now, Howard Hendricks made a couple of points from that. First of all, he said this. It just goes to prove yet again, you tell somebody not to do something and they're going to turn around and do it. And how aren't we all prone to that? But the second thing he said way too many Christians today are waiting for somebody, a pastor, a teacher, or somebody else on TV or on the radio to give them a handout and tell them what the Word of God says instead of getting into the Word of God for themselves. We forfeit so very much when we do not open this precious book and dive completely in. Because it's in diving in that we find encouragement. We find guidance. We find warnings. We find correction. But it's all right in there. One of the things we talked about, I think it was last week in the evening, I read this verse to you. It said, no temptation has overtaken you except that which is common to man. But God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. One of the ways that we endure it, one of the ways that we overcome the temptations that come our way is through God's holy word. Yes, sin is a problem. We've all figured that out. We know that. In the Word, we learn how to deal with it. How can a young man keep his way pure? Well, you keep your way pure by living according to God's Word. I've hidden your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. I meditate on your precepts and I consider your ways. I will not neglect your Word. I mean, sin. We know how destructive it's been. It destroyed our relationship with God. It has the power to take us directly to hell without passing go. But the truth is this, and this is a good but Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Those are good words. We find also in the Word that Jesus from the cross would speak these words, Father, forgive them. Yes, Lord, forgive us. And when we pray those words, when we come to God and open our lives to Him and Jesus, all of a sudden we're justified. We're acquitted for all the sins that we've ever committed and will commit, not because we are truly not guilty, but because we are covered in the guiltlessness, in the perfectness of Jesus Christ. And when we confess our sins are gone once and for all and forever. Once a man bought a Rolls Royce, and it was really expensive. But the advertisement on the Rolls Royce was simply this. It is a car that will never, ever, ever break down. That was the guarantee when you bought the car. Never break down. He had it several years, worked perfectly. One day, he's in the countryside of England, and the car that would never, ever, ever break down broke down. And so he calls Rolls Royce and says, you know, this car you sold me, you told me it would never, ever, ever break down. Well, guess what? I'm sitting alongside the road. They said, oh, sir, we are so very, very sorry. Please, just sit tight. We will be right there. And within a few minutes, a helicopter showed up. Yeah, a helicopter shows up with a technician and a mechanic in the helicopter and a bunch of parts. And they fix the guy's Rolls Royce and basically wave at him, and he drives off. And he's thinking, you know, the car's out of warranty. I mean, this has got to cost. I mean, when a helicopter shows up with your service rep, you know that's not a good thing. So anyway, he waits a few weeks, but he doesn't get the bill. And finally, after about a month, he just wants to get this whole mess behind him. And so he calls Rolls-Royce up again and says, look, About a month ago, I was broke down the road. I called you, and you sent out a helicopter with a mechanic. They fixed my car. And I just want to put this behind me. You know, how much do I owe you? And so they asked for his name again, and the lady on the other end of the phone said, well, sir, we don't have any record that you ever called us. You don't owe us anything. I guess that's how they can say it never, ever breaks down. They don't have a record of it. But he owed them nothing. In some sense, I believe that when it says that God removes our sin as far as the east is from the west, it's as if we've called up God and, oh, God, we've missed. And God, I don't have any record of it. Let me see here. Nope. My son says, you're one of his. I've got no record of your wrong. How good is the forgiveness of God? We have to let the word deepen our hearts. We have to let these words, meditate on them. And if you're going to meditate on the precepts of God and consider his ways, then we have to spend the right amount of time in our minds thinking about what is right. I mean, we're bombarded with all kinds of things to think about, but the key is to think about God's stuff. To the Romans, Paul would say, those that live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those that live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. In other words, think about the right things. Think about God's things. To the Philippians, Paul would say, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, pure, lovely, commendable, if there is any excellent, in any of these things, think about these things. In other words, think about what God has said to us. See, verse after verse is loaded with truth. And if we have ears to hear, what we're going to hear is God's voice speaking to us. A Scottish minister by the name of John McNeil said that as a boy, he had stayed in town too long. They lived about 3 or 4 miles out of town, and he was supposed to be home before dark, but he had stayed too long playing at a friend's house. It was dark, and he said that night, the clouds were out, no stars, no moon, no nothing, no street lights. It's dark, and he said it was a little bit scary for him, and he's hurrying to get home because he knows he's late, and he can see a figure moving towards him in the distance, and he's getting kind of scared, and all of a sudden, he said, I heard that voice, that strong voice, that voice that I recognize so well. Johnny, is that you? And he said, it was Dad. And he said, that voice calling out to me made all the difference that night. He said, I wasn't afraid anymore because if there was a strong man in the world, it was my dad. And once I knew that I was with my dad, he said, I was okay. Well, folks, when we take the word of God, when we hide it in our heart, and when God is with us, even though the thunder may be awfully loud, even though the climb is steep and hazardous, what we're going to hear is God calling out to us, it's okay because I am with you. This word will give light to our path. So here's the thing. You can't just do a one and done. Every day we need to get into it. You can't just say, well, I read it last week. No. We got to get into it. And it doesn't matter how old you are. Young, old, doesn't matter. We need it every day. Because how well we deal with sin, and we're all experts, how well we deal with sin depends on how much we get into his word. How we deal with life depends on getting into his words. Awfully sweet when God speaks. And the more we come before him with openness and humbleness of heart, the more he speaks. Grab your sword. If you don't got one, grab the pew Bible. Grab your swords. Stand up. When I was in Bible school, we would often have the Bible, and we kind of still do it. We kind of act like we got a Bible, even though you don't. But tonight, hold a Bible. And if I can remember it, we're going to repeat the Pledge of Allegiance to the Bible. Y'all do it just a little differently than it. I was raised in it. So you, those of you that know it from this end, speak loud, and I'll mumble at that point. I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word, a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. May I hide its words in my heart that I might not sin against God. Amen. You're dismissed.